Title: Simple Backup Habits for Music Projects Intermediate. Alright, let's talk about the least glamorous skill that separates I finished tunes from I lost the best drop I ever wrote. Backup habits. In drum and bass projects get dense fast. You've got layered breaks, resampled basses, automation everywhere, and five different this is the final versions. And the pain usually hits at the worst time. You open the project a month later and something's missing. A plugin updated. The bass rack broke, or the break edits aren't where you thought they were. So in this lesson, we're building a simple, repeatable Ableton Live backup workflow you can do in under a minute at the end of a session, without killing your creative flow. We're going to cover six things: a clean project folder structure, a version ladder, collecting samples into the project, printing critical audio like bass and drums, freeze and flatten at smart moments, and a quick export routine with reference bounces and occasional stems. Then we'll add one simple off-site sync method that won't cause corrupted sets or file conflicts. And here's the big mindset shift before we touch anything. Decide what you're backing up. Project safety means the session opens perfectly later, with devices, routings, samples, everything. Result safety means even if the project breaks, you can still recover the actual music from printed audio, stems, and reference bounces. Intermediate producers often obsess over project safety and forget result safety. We're doing both, but we're going to make sure every session produces results you can recover. Cool. Step 1. Start with a real project folder. Do not rely on recent sets. Create a folder for the track. Something like music projects, then a DNB year folder, then maybe a subfolder for tempo or style, and then a dated folder for the track itself. For example, 2026-03-21, Rolling Shadows, 172 BPM. The exact naming isn't sacred, but consistency is. Inside that track folder, create a few subfolders: Ableton Project, Audio Exports, Stems, References, Notes, and optionally samples external if you like to keep a staging area. Now in Ableton, don't just hit save. Go to File, Save Live Set As, and save the set inside the Ableton Project folder. Name it with a version number like Rolling Shadows V01.ALS. Teacher note: this one habit prevents a ridiculous amount of chaos later. Drum and bass producers drag audio from everywhere: downloads folders, old project folders, random break libraries. If the project isn't anchored to one home, you're basically gambling that future you can reconstruct your file maze. Step 2. Turn on a version ladder habit. Here's the rule: if you're about to do something that might break the vibe, you do save live set as and you increment the version. So you'll have Rolling Shadows V02 beat locked, Rolling Shadows V03 bass resample, V04 arrangement A, V05 mix pass 1, that kind of thing. And when something really clicks, do a milestone version. Literally put milestone in the name, like Rolling Shadows Milestone Drop Works V07. Why? Because creative work is non-linear. You'll try stuff that's worse before it's better. Versioning lets you explore aggressively because you're not afraid of losing the good state. Extra coach tip: if you're about to do something chaotic, make a branch. Two-lane versioning: keep your main line clean, but make an experimental branch with an X in the name, like V12 Safe Mix Bass and V12X Glitch Drop Experiment. That one little letter stops your project history from becoming a graveyard of half-broken ideas. Step 3. Make Ableton store your samples inside the project. This is the number one fix for missing files. Go to File, Manage Files. Choose Manage Project. Then choose Collect into Project. Make sure you collect samples. Optionally, collect files from packs if you want extra safety. Then confirm. Ableton will copy the used audio into the project's samples folder in places like imported and processed. DNB specific win. This is huge if you're using niche jungle breaks, one-shot hits, random impacts, or some amen 170 BPM tight.wav that you grabbed years ago. Collecting means you're not hunting across four drives later. Step 4. Add a resample and print safety net. This is essential in drum and bass. Because here's the reality: bass racks get complicated, drums get processed, plugins update, oversampling settings change, you open the set later and the sound isn't the sound anymore. Audio prints don't care. Audio is truth. Create two new audio tracks, one called Print Bass, one called Print Drums. Now route them. Set audio from to your bass bus and drum bus respectively. Set monitor to in. Then when you've got a phrase you love, arm the print track and record in arrangement view. If you don't already group your bass channels and drums, do it now. Put your bass layers into a group called Bass Bus and your drums into Drumbus. This makes printing clean and predictable. Quick teacher-style guidance on what to print. Don't wait until the end of the track. Print the moment you get something special. A sick 8-bar bass call and response? Print it. A perfect break edit groove? Print it. That one take automation moment where the filter and distortion just hit right. Print it, and label your prints like they matter, because they do. Not Audio 17. Name them so they answer three questions: what it is, where it's used, and which version it came from. For example, bass drop A33-49V09.wav, or print drums break edit a V07. Bonus. Make your print tracks print ready so you don't clip by accident. Put a utility for gain staging and a limiter as a safety ceiling, not for loudness, just to prevent a perfect resample take from exploding into digital clipping. Step 5. Freeze and flatten at the right moments. Freeze is great for CPU, but for us the bigger value is snapshotting sound design. Right-click a track, freeze track. If you're confident, flatten to turn it into audio. Good moments to do this indeed NB, after you nail a resampled Reese layer. When your neurostyle bass chain is finished enough, before a major arrangement changes, so you've got a working audio fallback. Pro workflow: duplicate the track first. Keep a MIDI version and an audio print version. Mute the MIDI but don't delete it. That way you can come back later, but you're not relying on it for survival. Step 6. Save device presets for key racks. Anytime you build a strong chain, save it. This is how you rebuild fast even if a set gets messy. Examples worth saving: a Reese rack chain, a break tightener chain, a submono utility chain. In Ableton, click the device title bar or rack title and drag it into your user library. Name it clearly, like DNB Bass Reese Rack Dark Wide or DNB Drums Break Tightener 170. One extra that pros do: capture macro states. If you're using an instrument rack with macros, write down the macro positions for drop A and drop B in your notes, because sometimes the rack loads, but you can't remember the exact sweet spot you had. Now let's build the 60-second end-of-session backup routine. This is the ritual. Here's what you do whenever you stop for the day. First, save. CTMD or Control-S. Second, if anything significant changed, save live set as a new version. For example, Rolling Shadows V09 end session. Third, collect into project. Yes, even if you did it earlier. If you added samples, it matters. Fourth, export a quick reference bounce. File, export audio / video. Render the master. WAV, 24-bit. Sample rate matching your project, usually 44.1 or 48K. Normalization generally off. Export either the full song or a focused loop around the drop, like a 32-bar section. Save that into references with a version name like Rolling Shadows V09Ref.WAV. DNB specific habit: always export at least a drop loop reference. That's the one you'll check on headphones, in the car, and against other tracks when you're judging low end and energy. Optional but strong: every few versions, export stems. Not every track, every time, forever. Do it with intention. Decision stems are enough. Drums, bass, music, effects and impacts. Ideally split sub separately if you can. Export all individual tracks and put them into a stems folder, like stems/V09. Now, a quick notes habit that saves you months later. Inside notes, keep a running log, dated, short, and actionable, like 2026-03-21, V09, changed kick layer, new bass macro mapping, limiter off. Next time, check sub balance at 55 Hz, don't touch break transient shaping. Also, if you use third-party plugins, add a tiny plugin list in notes, something like Serum 1.36, ProQ 33.25, Trash 2 Legacy. That's extremely useful when you reopen projects on a new machine. Next, off-site sync, without ruining your vibe. Pick one method: cloud sync like Dropbox, Drive, OneDrive, or an external drive copy. Best practice: don't run live sets directly from a cloud synced folder if your system struggles or if sync conflicts happen. The safer approach is: work locally in your music projects folder and let your sync tool mirror it in the background, or copy the whole project folder at the end of the day. And here's extra safety that costs basically nothing: keep a second copy of your references folder. Even if your set breaks, you still have audio evidence of each version. Let's hit a few common mistakes to avoid. Mistake 1. Only hitting save, no versions. One bad edit can wreck an arrangement and you have no rollback. Mistake 2. Not collecting samples. This is the top cause of missing files in DNB. Mistake 3. never printing base. If you're heavy on resampling, you need printed lanes for your best ideas. Mistake 4. Printing without labeling. You'll never find audio 17 when you're trying to finish a tune. Mistake 5. Cloud sync conflicts from editing the same .als on two machines. Use versioned files, avoid simultaneous editing, and send collaborators both a collected project and a stem pack plus reference. Now a couple pro tips for darker, heavier drum and bass. Print distortion stages separately. Do a clean bass print and a distorted mid/top print, then blend. This keeps your sub stable while you go aggressive in the mids. Create a safety sub track, a dedicated sine sub that's always mono and consistent. Utility width at zero. This isn't just backup. It's a mix anchor. And consider micro archives for critical moments. When you finish a strong 16 or 32 bars, especially your first working drop, export a tiny archive folder inside references. Include a drop reference, a drum bus print, and a bass bus print. If the set gets messy later, you can rebuild the vibe from audio in minutes. Mini practice exercise, 15 minutes. Create a new live set at 170 to 174 BPM. Build a tiny loop, two-step drums and a simple res. Save as practice roller V01. Make 3 changes. A drum edit, a bass tweak, and a quick arrangement out to 32 bars. After each change, save as V02, V03, V04. Add print bass and record an 8-bar print. Then collect into project. Then export a 32-bar reference into references. If you can do that smoothly, you're ready to apply it to real tracks without losing momentum. Recap the backup habit stack. One track equals one folder every time. Version ladder with milestone saves. Collect into project so samples don't go missing. Print tracks for bass and drums so the music survives plugin chaos. Freeze and flatten at checkpoints. Quick reference bounces every session, stems occasionally, and one off-site sync method for true protection. If you tell me whether you're on Windows or Mac, and whether you're using Cloud Sync, I can suggest a clean folder and sync setup that avoids conflicts and keeps your Ableton DNB sessions fast and safe.